الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, essentially we have to begin with the study of the selected course of study that I compiled about 30 years ago. But before we start with the study of this selected course of study of the Quran, first of all, there are a few points which were left over last evening from our discussion about the introduction to the Quran. First of all, names of the Quran. It is the habit and the taste of the Arabs that anything which they love more or like more or adore more, they give that thing many names. And this habit of theirs, we find, has been satisfied fully by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in His eternal kalam. Allah Himself has given Himself 99 names. Allah by His name. In the same way we find, there are many names of the Quran which have appeared in the Quran itself. Just as out of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is most famous. In the same way, out of the names of the Quran, Al-Quran, is the most famous. But there are so many other names. Al-Quran, Al-Furqan, Al-Kitab, Al-Zikr, Al-Nur, Al-Huda, and so on. Nearly 25 names have been given by Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti, rahimahullah, in his famous book, Al-Itqan fi Ulum Al-Qur'an. And all these names appear in the Qur'an. But I need not give you the full details of this list. Only an impression. These are all names, and then adjectives are added to them. Al-Qur'an Al-Hakim, Al-Qur'an Al-Majid, Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem. So actually, Al-Kareem, Al-Majid, Al-Hakim, Al-Mubin, Hameem Wal-Kitab Al-Mubin. Now these are the adjectives added. Now you can multiply the names with the adjectives. With Al-Quran we have Yasin wal-Quran al-Hakim, Qaf wal-Quran al-Majid, Saad wal-Quran al-Zikr, Quran al-Hakim, Quran al-Majid, Quran al-Kareem, Bal huwa Quran al-Majid fi lawhim mahfuz, Innahu la-Quran al-Kareem fi kitabin makmun, and so on. I must give you the meanings of the most famous name of the Qur'an, and that is Al-Qur'an itself. There are two opinions about the root of this word. Qaf, Ra, Noon, Qarn. Qarn means to bring something together. The same concept as we have in the English word composition. This composition, you compose your ideas and then you express them in a composition. That composition essentially contains and consists of sentences and words and so on. So actually, this Qarn, that is one opinion, that Al-Qur'an is derived from Qarn. The second and more famous, more agreed upon, that is from Qara'a. Qaf, Ra, Hamza, Qara'a. And this has also two meanings, but the more famous is to read. قرأت, I read. اقرأ, read. So from qara, Quran, it is the objective of qiraat, something that is to be read, readable, something which is worthy of reading. We have on this scale other words also which denote to maf'ool. For example, ghufran, ghufranaka rabbana. We ask you your forgiveness. Here it is, maf'ool. Subhanaka Allahumma. Subhan, ghufran, rujhan. All these things on this very scale, on this very wazn, as they call it in Arabic language. You have so many words. In the same scale we find Quran from qara'a yaqra'u. That is something to be read. So these are two famous opinions. There are other opinions also. And the likeness of this name of Quran to the name of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word Allah, the word Quran. Allah is also a word, a name of Allah, about which there is much controversy about the root. And the same is the case with Al-Quran. There are different opinions about the root of this word. The second most famous, Al-Furqan. Faraqa yafruqu. Something which divides other things. Separates them. Faraqa yafruqu. Al-Furqan, something which differentiates reality from falsehood. Haq min al-batil. What is false, what is real. Differentiation is to be made by Quran. So Al-Furqan. Then az-zikr, I told you last evening, remembrance, reminding. Because the basic philosophy of the Quran is that the cognition of Allah, ma'rifa, and love of Allah, both these are inherent in human souls. Every human being knows Allah, loves Allah. This is inherent in his soul, in his spirit. Because the secret came from Allah. يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. The only difficulty is that we are so much engrossed in this world, so much busy, occupied, that we never look to our hearts. We never try to hear the testimony of our souls emerging from the depths of our souls and hearts. What Quran does, it actually exhorts us and makes it easy for us to remember, to be mindful of what is there in your very nature. So that is the meaning of zikr. This is az-zikr, the remembrance or the reminding. Then al-kitab. The more common understanding of this word is something which has been written. Kataba yaktubu, to write. Al-kitab, written thing. But actually, we should discuss it later inshallah during this study of our selected course of the Quran. The kitab in Quran means law. Because wherever there is a legal injunction of the Quran, the word has been used, kutiba. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Kutiba alaykum al-qital. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitabam mawquta. So whatsoever has been written, it has been decided finally. That's all. No more argument, no more discussion. Kutiba. And this is for something which has made obligatory first. So actually, kitab means law, sharia. So this book contains law, sharia. Rather the final shape and the most complete shape of the sharia, which started with Torah. That was the beginning of sharia. And that sharia has reached its zenith and climax in the Quran. So this is al-kitab. Both meanings you can have before you. Both are valid. Something which is written. And something which is obligatory. Which is false. Which has to be obeyed anyhow. An-nur, the light. Because it shows you the hidden realities of this universe. To which referred in my last evening lecture, the philosophical quest in man. Who am I? What is this universe? What's the beginning or the end of this universe? What's the creation? Who am I? Wherefrom have I come? Born from the blue? And is death the end of my life or existence? Where do I go? Where do I go after death? Is that the end? What is good? What is evil? What is knowledge? All these are philosophical questions which have been haunting the minds of people, intelligent people. So actually, these are the hidden realities. They will never be explored by physical sciences. This is ghaib. That is why this word appears in the very beginning of the Quran. Alif Lam Mim Zalika al-Kitab wa la rayba fihi hudan lil-muttaqin alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghaib. And let me quote here a saying of Confucius, the Chinese saint or sage or philosopher, whatsoever you may call him. He says in a very beautiful sentence, there is nothing more real than what cannot be seen. And that is nothing more, there is nothing more certain than what cannot be heard. This is the apparent world. But the reality lies beyond the scope of your senses and sense organs. This is the ghaib. Now as we need light to see the facts of this world, material world, even if our eyes are okay, we can't see without light. In the same way, to be able to see and comprehend the hidden realities of this universe, you need an inner light, and that inner light is Quran. An-Nur. It reveals all the hidden realities of this creation, of this universe. The same way, Al-Huda, that I discussed last night. Al-Huda, at the individual level also. How to build a healthy, normal, human personality. Number two, how to establish a just social order. Al-Huda, we need guidance. Where to go, where not to go. What to do, what not to do. So this is the practical aspect of Quran, Al-Huda. It is the guidance. So I finish my discussion on this topic with this. This about the names of the Quran and then the adjectives. I have mentioned to you a few of them. Now the second point, which was left over yesterday. I told you the final unit, basic unit of Quran is ayah. Ayah means a sign and symbol of divine knowledge and wisdom. Ayahs, they go to make, they are composed into surahs. Surah means literally a rampart, a big wall, tall, high wall surrounding a city. What does it denote? Every surah of the Quran is a city of the knowledge. Just as we hear a hadith, I have not been able to ascertain the validity of the hadith, but I think it's commonly accepted. Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha. So every surah of Quran is a madinatul ilm. It's a city of knowledge and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And around that city of knowledge is a sur, and it defines the surah. These things I have discussed last evening. The point is, every surah has a central theme. The ayat have not been joined together without any basis. Otherwise it would be very easy to fix the number 10 ayat, go to make a surah. Another 10, another surah. Another 10, another surah. Or so on. 4, 5. But when you see, there are surahs of having 3 ayat only. Surahs having 300 ayat. 286 is very near 300. So there is some wisdom behind it. Shaydul Hakim la yakhlu anil hikmah. No action of a wise man can be without wisdom. There's wisdom behind it. And Allah is Al-Hakim. So if He has decided these surahs to be formed like this, there's definitely hikmah, wisdom, purpose. So every surah has a central theme and we call it umud. Umud, the column, umud. And all the ayat that are included in that surah are connected logically to that central theme. We can keep before us the example of a garland. It has a wire or something of that sort, a thread, in which the diamonds or the pearls or the flowers, they are needed together. So actually, every ayah is like a flower, it's like a diamond of golden, of divine beauty and divine wisdom and divine knowledge. But then that thread of that surah has made it into a garland. And every flower, every diamond, every pearl has a beauty of its own. But when you arrange them, another dimension of beauty is added due to that arrangement. So that arrangement of ayat in the form of surahs is very important. Next, most of the surahs of the Quran are in pairs. The rule of creation we find in the Quran is, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ. All creation that we have made consists of pairs. It's a rule. Although Quran is not a creation, it was a big dispute in the Abbasid period. But don't think about that dispute. But this rule appears to be so liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made these surahs also in pairs. We end with two surahs. Muawwadhatayn, muawwadhatan. The same subject. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. It could be joined in one surah. No, two surahs. The first two surahs after Suratul Fatiha. Surah Fatiha, the pair of Surah Fatiha is the whole of Quran. Because it's like a preface to the whole of the book. But then we have Suratul Baqarah, Suratul Ali Imran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given both these surahs one name, Al-Zahrawan. Two very bright surahs of the Quran. Al-Ghamamatan. So there is Tasmiyah. This seerah of Tasmiyah. Two. Then you find in the 29th, in the end of the 28th part of Quran, Suratul Tahrim, Suratul Talaq. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu idha tallaqtum an-nisa. إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحْلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Both surahs are beginning with the same word. Then we have Surah Muzzammil, Surah Muddassir. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلْ قُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّسِّرْ قُمْ. This is only to give you a few examples. Most of these surahs of the Quran, they are in pairs. And what's the use of these pairs? Human beings are in pairs. Male and female. All animals are in pairs. Males and females. So what do you understand? What this pair is? Man, woman, 90% they are alike. They are similar to each other. He cow and she cow, both are the same. Only a small difference. So there must be similarity in the two surahs of a pair. To a great extent. But then there should be some difference also. But this difference has to be complementary. Complementary. They must join together for some purpose. Why this male and female? For progeny. For procreation. There can be no procreation without the other pair, you know. No male can have procreation. No female can have procreation. But both, they actually, this difference is for a purpose, not without any purpose. So this is essentially the meaning of a pair. In the same way, in the two surahs of a pair, you will find one aspect of the same subject being discussed in one surah, and the other aspect of the same subject you will find in the other surah. Just as you call two aspects of a picture, two sides of a picture, two sides of a leaf. They go to make a page. So in the same way, these surahs, they are in pairs. There are very few surahs which are individual, alone, without any pair. Most of the surahs are in pairs. Then now these surahs, I told you, they go to make groups. These groups, as we have discussed last evening, there are seven groups. Small and big. Just as the ayat are small and big, just as the ahzab are small and big, just as the surahs are small as well as big, in the same way the groups are small or big. But every group again consists of a pair. As I told you, one or more surahs from the Makki Quran, and then one or more surahs from the Madani Quran. Again a pair. We find Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, Surah Nisa, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Madanis. And in the beginning, Surah Fatiha, the most important, profound surah, then Makki. Then we have two surahs, Makki. Al-A'raf, Al-An'am. Then two surahs who are Madani. Al-Anfal, Al-Tawbah. Then starting from Surah Yunus till Surah Al-Mu'minun, 14 surahs, Makki. Then we have Surah Al-Nur, it's Madani. Again, 8 surahs, Makki. And then one surah, Madani, Surah Al-Ahzab, and so on. So here also you will find that every group has a central theme or umood. And one aspect of that umood or that central theme is discussed in the batin surahs of that group. And the other aspect of that umood or that central theme of that group is discussed in the madani surahs. I think this should suffice, because when we proceed with our regular study, I'll be mentioning these things time and again, so that these things become clearer and clearer. Secondly, I want to introduce you to the selected course of study. We are not going to study Quran serially from the beginning, continuously, no. Actually, it's going to be a selected course of study of the Quran. What's the background? What's the history? What's the basis of selection? How it came into existence? It is as if from the introduction to the Quran as a whole, now we are shifting to the introduction of this selected course of study of the Quran. The history is that when I was very young, only 19 years of age, I was studying the third year of MBBS course at the King Edward Medical College in Lahore. I was an active member of Islami Jamiat Talaba. I was appointed or elected, whatever you may say, the Nazim or organizer of the local chapter of the Jamia at Lahore, as well as the provincial chapter of the Jamia of Punjab. In December 1951, I organized a camp, training camp for the members of the Jamia. We, just as some of the brothers are staying here together, it reminds me of those days of my early youth. 43 years back, I had, I think, about 30, 35 students. We were living at one place for 10 days. Some scholar was teaching us some ahadith. Someone else was teaching us some Quran. Naturally, whole of the Quran couldn't be taught. So there had to be some selection. And I was fortunate enough, I must say, that Maulana Amin al-Islahi taught us Quran for those 10 days. Or Maulana Abul Ala Maududi, rahimahullah, he taught us hadith for those 10 days. Maulana Naim Siddiqui, he taught us some literature during those 10 days. Malik Ghulam Ali, he taught us some fiqh during those 10 days. So now, about the Quran. Maulana Amin al-Islahi, he selected 5 or 6 places from the Quran. For example, to give you a glimpse of what a mu'min should be, what should be the foundations of the character of a mu'min, he selected 2 parts. The first 11 ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun and similar ayat from Surah Al-Ma'arij. Then what is the basis of a Muslim family? He taught us Surah Al-Tahrim. Then what are the basic principles of the organization of the Ummah? He taught us Al-Hujurat. Then what is Jihad fi sabilillah? There was the aim and object of Jihad fi sabilillah. There was a difference between Jihad and Qital fi sabilillah. For that he chose Surah Al-Saf. Then what are the difficulties and tests in دس وے وین یو وانٹ ٹو اسٹیبلش دی دین آف اللہ لیظہرہ علی الدین کلہ اینڈ ہاؤ یو آر ریکوائرڈ ٹو بی اسٹیڈفاسٹ ٹو شو فار بیئرنس فار دیٹ ہی سلیکٹڈ سورۃ العنکبوت. سو دیز ور دی پلیسز آف دی قرآن وچ ہی ٹاٹ اس. Again, in the summer vacation of 1952, I organized another camp, and a bigger one. I was lucky to be the organizer of both the camps. Then I again listened to the dars of Maulana Mir Nasr Islahi on these places. So that is actually the beginning of this concept of a selected course of study. Later on, I, you know, built it. I filled the gaps in between. I gave it a firm basis. That basis is Suratul Asr, the starting point. And in about 15 years' time, I finished this work of composing or editing the selected course of study of the Quran. And for the last 25 to 30 years, I've been explaining this selected course of study. Many times I've spoken about it. From the very beginning till the end. And there have been videos and audios. Videos are just a recent phenomenon. But audios, they were available in the very beginning also. But this was actually in Urdu all the time. There was a demand from the Western world, people who listened to those tapes, and they found them beneficial, useful. So there was a demand that you should deliver these durus in English also. I hesitated badly because I never lived for any considerable time in any Western country. I was never a student of English literature. Although medicine was taught in English, but that is a technical language, not a literary language. So I was very hesitant. It was only last year when I visited here, and my first sermon was the Juma sermon at Trenton Mosque. I think the name is Masjid al-Safa at Trenton. I felt that it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the knot of my tongue. رَبِّ شَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. And I felt that maybe I can do this work. And that is how I'm here for this job. So this is actually the historical background of this selected course of study, and I must say that my all efforts of these 40 years, they revolve around this selected course of study. From my lessons and durus of the selected course of study came up the organization Anjuman Khuddam al-Quran, the Society of the Servants of the Quran at Lahore, and then its branches grew. Then on that very basis, because it gives us the idea of the basic duties of a Muslim, then I had to found Tanzeem-e-Islami. Those people who are ready to do their lot, their bit, who are ready to fulfill their obligations toward Islam, they must join together. La Islama illa bi Jama'ah. So that Jama'ah was Tanzeem-e-Islami and is Tanzeem-e-Islami. So all this actually, you may say, these are the fruits of the same tree. The tree is actually the whole of Quran, but practically I should say that tree is this selected course of study. Now the second point about this selected course of study of the Quran is, what's the objective? Selection can be made from the Quran on different issues, different topics. For example, if one decides to select the verses and the ayat and the surahs which discuss exclusively and specifically the principle of Tawheed, there will be a selected course of study of the Quran for Tawheed. There could be another one about Risalah. What is the messenger word? It has been discussed at various places in the Quran. You select them, join them together, it becomes another course of study. There could be a selected course of study for guidance, especially for women. It could become a selected course of study of those ayat, those surahs, which deal with the problems of women, particularly. So there can be hundreds of courses of study selected from Quran. But what is the basis of the selection of the surahs or ayat which I have included in this selected course of study? Two things are the main objective. Number one, it should be clear to the listener and the student what Islam is. Is it a dogma only? Or does it consist of rituals only? Or does it consist of, in addition to dogma and rituals, some social customs alone? What it is? It should become absolutely clear. Our cognition, our understanding of Quran as a whole, of Islam, what is Islam? And number two, and more important, what Islam requires of us? What are our duties and obligations for Islam? What our Creator, our Sustainer, our Lord demands of us? What does He want from us? What has He made obligatory on us? What are the farais, the duties? Because I feel the most of the inaction or evil action of the Ummah, bi'amali or bad'amali, springs from a narrow and limited concept of Islam, and more so from a narrow and limited concept of the duties of a Muslim. This concept of the duties of a Muslim has become very narrow, very limited. Now, the behavior and practical attitude of a person necessarily depends upon his own conceptions. I have been giving an example. If you employ a person and you tell him, these are 10 duties that you have to perform every day. Due to some accident, he remembers only 3. He has forgotten the rest of the 7. Now, he might be the most sincere person. He might be the most hard-working person. But all his work and achievement will be limited to those 3 duties. Regarding the rest of the 7, his achievement, his performance will be 0. Will he be a successful servant in the eyes of the employer? Despite the sincerity, despite the hardest labor that he has put in, he will be declared unsuccessful. You are getting full marks in 3 papers, but 0s in 7. How can you pass? So actually these 2 things are most fundamental. The decadence, the downfall of the Muslim Ummah is based on these 2 things. The concept of Islam changing from deen to mazhab. It has become a religion, not deen. And number 2, the concept of our duties as Muslims has become very limited, very narrow. So there are people, very pious people, regarding those narrow things. خال خال اس قوم میں اب تک نظر آتے ہیں وہ کرتے ہیں اشک سحر گاہی سے جو ظالم وضو. But what is happening to the Ummah as a whole? Why? Because the Muslims, by and large, they have forgotten their duties as Muslims. Even those who are very pious, very muttaqi, they are making prayers, all the 5 prayers in the mosque. But they are just ignorant of their other duties. So that is actually the more important objective in selecting the ayat and the surahs which have been included in this selected course of study. And that is why I have given the basis of Suratul Asr. Because Suratul Asr discusses the same question. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Here 4 prerequisites, preconditions have been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for salvation. یو کین ناٹ ہوپ سلویشن وداؤٹ فلفلنگ فور کنڈیشنز پری ریکوزٹس اینڈ پری کنڈیشنز آف فلاح اور نجات سلویشن اور سکسس. سو دس سلیکٹڈ کورس آف اسٹڈی کنسٹ آف سکس پارٹس. ان پارٹ ون along with Surat al-Asr, there are three more places which are more or less as much profound as Surat al-Asr itself. These four lessons will be in part one. Then part two will be discuss the first condition in detail, what is Iman. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Part three consists of surahs and ayat, especially which deal with amal-e salih, the good deeds, the righteous deeds. But there are different levels, at individual level, at social level, at the level of state, ummah, millah. So this will be three levels of good deeds, righteous deeds. Then in the fourth, تواصو بالحق, different terms regarding تواصی بالحق. You should be able to proclaim the truth. You should be able to preach it to others. Then the fifth, تواصی بالصبر. You have to be steadfast and forbearing. You will have to pass through tribulations and tests. Because it's easy to tell a truth, but truth is always bitter. It brings resentment, maybe persecution. And now you have to be steadfast and forbearing. You need endurance. Number six, part number six again, the most comprehensive, most profound surah of the Quran regarding this subject. That is Surah Al-Hadid. And that is the only surah in that whole part, number six. So this is a brief introduction to the selected course of study, which we will be, inshallah, discussing in these sessions. And now I start with Surah Al-Asr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم. First of all, I want to give you the translations given by four authors. First of all, how has Muhammad Marmaduke Mikhtal translated this surah? By the declining day. Wal-Asr, he translates into by the declining day. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. No, man is in a state of loss. The third ayah, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Save those who believe and do good works and exhort one another to truth and exhort one another to endurance. Second translation from Allama Asad. Consider the flight of time. وَالْعَصْرِ, flight of time. Consider the flight of time. Verily man is bound to lose himself unless he be of those who attain to faith and do good works and enjoin upon one another the keeping of truth and enjoin upon one another patience in adversity. To give you the third, it is from Abdullah Yusuf Ali of the Indian subcontinent. By the token of time, through the ages, verily man is in loss except such as have faith and do righteous deeds and join together in the mutual teaching of truth and of patience and constancy. Lastly, from Maulana Madhudi, although this is not the English translation by Maulana Madhudi himself, his Urdu translation has been translated by somebody else. But I want to give you the idea that he has. By the time, man is surely in great loss, except those who believed and did good works and exhorted one another to the truth, and exhorted one another to patience. These are the four translations. There is very little difference. We will be discussing these things later. But I wanted to give you the translations from both these four authors. Now I propose to discuss this Suratul Asr only at the level of tazakkur, not tadabbur. I mentioned these two words last evening. Tazakkur, to get the real lesson of something. We used to read stories in our early childhood, and then in the end, what's the lesson of the story? The story was, for example, one page long, but the lesson was one sentence. So the lesson or the essence of the surah, and I told you, gave you the example, that just as if the oil is spilt in the sea, you have a layer of oil on the surface. The water is very deep, maybe miles deep, but the oil is on the surface. So the composition of Quran is such that its lesson or essence is on the top, which can be heard very easily, which can be approached, understood very easily. That's why I quoted the ayah that has been repeated four times in Surah Al-Qamar. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We have made this Quran very easy for tazakkur. So is there anybody who wants to have the tazakkur? It's a very challenging style of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't say to us that, oh Allah, you sent a book which was very difficult. I couldn't understand it. You can't say. We have made it very easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Only if you have the intention or the niyyah, you will find it the most plain and simple, self-explanatory book. The essence or the lesson would be at the top. Get it? Just as you pluck a flower from the plant. It's so easy. Although this flower is attached to the whole plant, it couldn't be there without the whole plant. But you can get the flower. So tazakkur actually, I'll be discussing it only at the level of tazakkur, not tadabbur. Why? Number one, the whole selected course of this study is actually the tadabbur of Suratul Asr. When we will be discussing Iman in detail, we will be discussing Amal-e-Saleh in detail, different aspects and stages of Tawasib al-Haq in detail, different stages of Tawasib al-Sabr, it will be actually an explanation, extension, and exfoliation of this same Suratul Asr. For that matter, we may be able to say that actually whole Quran is the extension and exfoliation of Suratul Asr. I will come to this point later. Number two, at least on Suratul Asr, I have a published work, The Road to Salvation in the Light of Suratul Asr. The Path to Salvation in the Light of Suratul Asr. It consists one of my writings and one of speeches. My speeches. And I think it should suffice for those who want to understand and share with me my understanding of this great surah of the Quran. It has been translated into English also. In Urdu, we have a bound edition also. In English, it's unbound, it can be had. So I don't want to give more time or take more time in discussing Suratul Asr in this series of lectures, because we have to go a long way, and I will try to save as much time as I can. Now I'm starting with four preliminary things about Suratul Asr. Try to remember them. Very simple. Just before us, only to be noted and enlisted in your minds. Number one, this is one of the most early or the earliest surahs of the Quran revealed at Makkah. And Quran itself defines its style in Surah Hud, alayhi salatu wassalam. Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu thumma fussilat min ladun hakimin khabir. This is a book whose ayat have been محکم, ویری پروفاؤنڈ ان دی بگننگ, ویری پروفاؤنڈ آیات اینڈ سورہ ور ریویل. لیٹر آن ڈیٹیلس کیم آف دی سیم سورہ. سو ایکچولی دس از اے ویری فیمس اینڈ ویری نوٹ وردی ایگزامپل آف دس احکمت آیات ثم فصلت اینڈ دس اٹ واز ریویل ان ویری ارلی مکن پیریڈ. نمبر ٹو, اٹس ون آف دی اسمالسٹ سوراز آف دی قرآن. دیر آر اونلی تھری سوراز آف دی قرآن وچ کمپرائز آف تھری آیات, سورت العصر, سورت الکوثر اینڈ سورت النصر. تھری دس فیگر تھری سیمس ٹو ہیو سم امپورٹنس بیکاز وی نو دیٹ اٹس نیسسری ٹو ریسائٹ تھری آیات ان رکعہ ان صلاح ان پریئر. اور اف دی آیا از ویری بگ دین ون وڈ آلسو سفائس, اف اٹ از آیت الکرسی اور آیت البر اور آیت الدین سو آن ون کین سفائس, بٹ اف دی آر اسمال آیات یو ہیو ٹو ریسائٹ ایٹ لیسٹ تھری. اینڈ اٹس ناٹ انسیڈینٹل دیٹ تھری سوراز آف دی قرآن کمپرائز آف تھری آیات, بٹ دس از دی اسمالسٹ. نو سورا ہیز اونلی ٹو آیات, اینڈ دیر کین بی نو سورا آف ون آیا, اینڈ دیر وی نو ڈفرنس بٹوین دی سورا اینڈ دی آیا. But actually composition means when you have composed a few sentences. Surah will mean when a few ayat are joined together to make a surah. And the least number is two, three, which we find in the Quran. So this is one of the smallest surahs of the Quran. This is one of the earliest surahs of the Quran. But now note the difference in words. This is the most profound and comprehensive surah of the Quran. Here I have not used the word one of the most profound. No. The most profound and the most comprehensive surah of the Quran. I am absolutely emphatic on this point. And this emphasis that I am putting on this point is not without any basis. Let me quote here about the practice of the Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. There is a tradition given by Tabrani in his Awsat. Imam Tabrani, he edited three books of Ahadith, Kabir, Awsat, Sagheer. But in the Awsat, he has included this riwayah. And it has been included by Imam Baihaqi in his famous book Shu'ubul Iman. Very important tradition of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The wordings are, كَانَ الرَّجُلَانِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا الْتَقَيَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا حَتَّى يَقْرَأَ أَحَدُهُمَا عَلَى الْآخَرِ سُورَةَ الْعَصْرِ ثُمَّ يُسَلِّمُ أَحَدُهُمَا عَلَى الْآخَرِ. When two persons from among the companions of the Prophet used to meet with each other, they never departed from each other unless they had recited one to the other and the other to the first Surah Al-Asr. This practice of the Sahaba couldn't be without any reason. I will discuss it later. What's the need? What's the necessity to recite this Surah? So common. Although we may think, and we do think, Surah Al-Ikhlas is much high, much more exalted. Suratul Fatiha is at a very high level. Ummul Quran, Asasul Quran. But the practice of the Sahaba, of the companions, is regarding Suratul Asr. There's a basis, there's a reason. I'll discuss later. But to give you the glimpse, you know, from the practice of the companions, that is in itself an argument. They were the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كان الرجلان من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا التقيا لم يتفرقا حتى يقرأ أحدهما على الآخر سورة العصر ثم يسلم أحدهما على الآخر. Then they used to salute each other, say salam alaikum, and then depart. Secondly, let me give you two sayings of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. One saying has been reported by Hafiz ibn Kasir rahimahullah دی فیمس مفسر. اکارڈنگ ٹو حافظ ابن کثیر، امام شافعی رحمہ اللہ ہیز سیڈ، لو تدبر الناس هذه السورۃ لوسعتهم. اف پیپل پونڈر اوور اونلی دس ون سورہ آف دی قرآن، اٹ ول سفائس فار دیئر گائیڈنس. اینڈ اکارڈنگ ٹو اندر سیئنگ، اٹ ہیز بین رپورٹڈ بائی مفتی محمد عبدہ آف ایجپٹ ان ہز ایکسیجیسز آف دی لاسٹ پارٹ آف دی قرآن، اینڈ دی سیئنگ دیٹ ہی رپورٹڈ از لو لم ینزل من القرآن سواہا لکفت الناس، ایون اف نتھنگ ایلس واز ریویلڈ ان دی قرآن except this surah al-asr, only this surah would have been sufficient for the total guidance to humanity. Now just note, these are not the sayings of some ordinary person. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, although the Hanafis do think, and I also do think, that regards the legal understanding of the deen, legal and constitutional aspects of deen, Imam Abu Hanifa stands at a much higher level than Imam Shafi'i. But the principles of jurisprudence of the Quran, he is the beginner of this great science in Islam. And he is definitely at least number two imam among the four imams that are accepted by all Ahlus Sunnah. That is his stature. And he has said these two things. لو لم ينزل من القرآن سواها لكفت الناس لو تدبر الناس هذه السورة لوسعتهم. May Allah give us the correct understanding of this surah, and may He make us from those who act according to this surah. اللهم ربنا اجعلنا من عبادك الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين.